Snap Studios.
Okay, so Saturday morning, beautiful Oakland, California. Walking down the street, I get a bowl of noodles. I'm chilling, listening to my podcast, wander over to a nearby park. Bunch of little kids screaming and laughing, playing on the swings. I sit down on the bench, get to work on these garlic noodles, delicious. Playground, podcast, garlic noodles, weekend, what could be better? But then I notice a disturbance in the force. The mommies are not very surreptitiously moving their Chads and Monicas away from where I'm sitting. Some start tapping onto cell phones. I see them, seeing me, a large, unkempt man, giggling at their kids, and I'm horrified. I almost shout out, "Don't worry! Don't worry not to fear, ladies. I am not a predator." Thankfully, my hindbrain stops this outburst. Instead, I flee. Top speed, for the cop cars show up. And I tell you that to tell you this. When my boy first starts at an African-American culture school, Ilie Omide, the kids, they use a word for elder that I didn't grow up with. Baba. And the word Baba, it's Southern African, Persian, South Asian. It's a term of respect for a father-like figure, or uncle, or maybe a teacher. And one day, right after the first incident, I walk onto the school grounds, and this beautiful little girl, I'd never seen before, maybe 3 or 4 years old, two big old afro pups, she comes running over to me. She says, "Baba, I'm hungry."
What?
I'm teasing her.
"What? Did they give you a snack?"
"Yeah."
"But you're still hungry?"
"Yeah." "Well, let's go find you something to eat." She takes my hand in hers, and we go to get some peanut butter crackers. The next day, she comes running up.
"Baba, I hurt my leg."
"Let me see." "Shh, yikes. You better clean that up and get you a Band-Aid."
"Okay."
Simple, everyday, nothing. And it wasn't until thinking about scrambling away from the park with my noodles that I realized how thankful I was. Thankful to have discovered a place where for a few minutes every day, I'm not perceived as a threat. Thankful for a community that insists I expect you to treat my child the same way you would treat your own. Thankful that when a youngster calls you Baba, yes, they are showing respect, but they are also invoking obligation. They are saying they trust you to help them. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful I'm not scary to this little girl. And I guess I'm most thankful that she sees me the way I see me. And today on the Snap Judgment Gratitude Special, we hope you get to see a little bit of yourself as well. My name is Glenn Washington. Yes, the parks are for everyone, except for you scary looking fellas. Y'all stay at home. When you're listening, the Snap Judgment. Snappers, just a couple of blocks from the Snap Judgment underground lair is Oakland's beautiful Lake Merritt. And this lake is our sanctuary. I get to walk it every day, and it feels like Oakland's living room. And every time someone messes that up, we all feel it. So we're going to start with a story from right here in Oakland, from the offices of the local newspaper. At the time, Tamerlan Drummond was a reporter for the East Bay Times. Snap Judgment.
I was sitting at my desk at my office in downtown Oakland, and my editor walks over and says, "Do you know somebody named Willie?" And I said, "Willie?" And she said, "Yeah, this guy named Willie. He used to be a salesman up at Lake Merritt." And I said, no, I don't know him." And she said, "Well, he apparently died, and there's this big memorial that people have erected to him up at the lake. Can you go with a photographer and check it out?" So I jumped in my car and went up to the lake, and I saw all of these pictures of Willie, who was this, you know, African-American man. I figured maybe he was, 60-ish, kind of scraggly beard. And I realized this is the guy that I used to see when I was walking the lake, but I had never actually spoken to him, but I remembered him.
Willie was a fixture at the lake. All the regulars knew his name, and he was always there, underneath some arches, across from the Catholic Church down at the lake's south end.
I mean, he was like meticulous. I mean, he was like a decorator. And he would lay out this little blanket, and he would arrange his wares just so, and you could buy shoes, he would have jewelry, you know, different little bracelets. I mean, all kinds, you just never knew what he was gonna have there. He really was like the greeter of Lake Merritt. That was one of the things that made him so popular.
My man, Willie, the hustler. That's my partner.
This is Rico. He rides a bike with a huge speaker box attached to the front. Every day for 4 years, Rico would ride his bike with the oldies blasting from his speakers and meet up with Willie for lunch.
I usually come about, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I would go over there and have my grapes and Cheez-Its. Yeah, mix all that together in my little salads that I buy from Safeway. And I usually bring Willie one.
After lunch, they would sit out for the rest of the day, listening to music and clapping along. It's what they were doing the night before Willie disappeared.
I left at 6 o'clock like I always do. I said, "May I see you tomorrow afternoon by 1 o'clock? God spared my life." He said, "All right, Reek, all right." So next day I came up back about 2 o'clock. And no Willie.
Rico thought about all the places Willie could be.
The day before, he had something eating on his skin. And he kept itching. I said, "Man, you gotta go to the doctor." And about 1 o'clock, Richard came through, the buddy. He came through with the poodles. And man, he had tears in his eyes. "Have you seen Willie?"
Poodle?
Yeah, she's a poodle mix.
This is Richard with the poodle.
You know, I know his schedule.
The only time he would be gone is if he was sick and had to go to the doctor. I had this bad feeling. I said, "Oh no, he probably just, you know." And then the second day I said, "Holy." And then the third day it's just like, "Do you know where Willie is?" "No, I don't know.
Everybody camping out now. People come out the woodwork. Some people I've never even seen before. People with tears in their eyes. "Where's Willie? Have you seen Willie?"
One of those people was Anna Lee Allen.
Yeah, good morning.
And she used to stop by and chat with Willie every Friday morning with her walking group. And when they noticed Willie was gone?
Well, what happened was, after a couple of weeks, one of the people in our group brought a poster out and some flowers and set up a little memorial to him.
Kind of memorial pictures to Willie and different comments. "Willie, we miss you."
I hadn't been walking that long, but I knew that he was a standhold here for people. You always, you know, thought about Willie when you went by.
Pretty soon, more people added posters and flowers, and Willie's memorial just kept growing. By the time Tamerlan got there, all kinds of stuff was spilling out from Willie's corner at the lake.
People have left teddy bears, and they've left pictures of Willie posing with their poodles. And people have written these, you know, elaborate poems and, you know, R.I.P. Willie. And Willie, you know, the Lake Merritt ambassador, we miss you, go with the ancestors.
It was just all these like urban rumors. There's no way. There's no way he could be dead.
We wish you were here, but we know you're in a much better place.
Willie is like the spirit of this beautiful temple called Lake Merritt.
All these people were so worked up over this guy, and most of them didn't even know his name. The ones who knew his name only knew him by Willie. And one young woman actually said to me, she said, you know, Willie was kind of a sign of familiarity in Oakland, which, you know, people are very nervous about gentrification and all these things that are changing.
As Tamerlan moved through the crowd interviewing Willie's mourners, she heard stories and saw all kinds of photos of him. And people, they could tell her what they remembered about Willie, but no one could tell her what exactly happened to Willie.
This was something that was sort of nagging in the back of my mind as a journalist.
Tamerlan got in her car and headed back to the office to do some investigating. First, she reached out to the coroner to see if they had a body that fit Willie's description. African-American male, somewhere between 5'5 and 5'8, with a salt and pepper beard.
And they didn't have a body. The police didn't have any kind of police report. And so I thought, well...
Tamerlan's deadline was fast approaching, but she still was at square one. She didn't know what happened to Willie, and she didn't even know his last name. So she decided to write everything she knew. The headline of her article read, "Death of Lake Merritt Mystery Man Causes an Unusual Outpouring." The paper ran the story the next morning, and when Tamerlan got to work, she had a new voicemail.
And it's from this lady named Pamela Turner.
Pamela said she knew what happened to Willie. She left her number for Tamerlan.
This could be finally the break in the case as to like what's happened to Willie. So I was like, whoa, I got to get to this woman right away. I mean, I was like, you know, super excited. So I immediately call her.
I was actually driving to work that morning.
Around 5 in the morning, Pamela Turner was driving on Lakeshore Avenue when all of a sudden, she saw a woman approaching her car, waving her hands and trying to get her attention. So Pamela slowed down to see what was going on.
And I saw a man lying on the ground. Something just told me to pull over. So I pulled over and I asked her, I said, ma'am, are you okay? She said, I think this guy need help.
The woman heard someone calling for help from her apartment. When she looked out the window, she saw a man with his arms around Willie's neck, taking him down. Another one had his bike. They were robbing him. The woman ran downstairs and found Willie all alone on the ground.
I went up to him and I said, are you okay, sir? And he really couldn't speak. He was just pointing towards his throat. And he was like, I can't breathe. It's hard for me to breathe. It felt like, you know, I'm passing out, like I can't breathe. And he was like, don't leave me. Just don't leave me.
Pamela called 911. The dispatcher told her to lay him down on his side.
But when he lay down on his side, it seemed like he got worse. He started like really gasping for air, and then he was like almost like hitting his chest, and then like his eyes start rolling in his head, and then like everything just went quiet, silent. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And she looked at me, she said, did he die? Did we lose him? And I was going, sir, sir, sir. And then, you know, we was like touching him and kind of shaking him. And then foam started coming out of his mouth. By this time, it's like 5:30 in the morning. It's freezing cold out. So we both took our jackets off, you know, to cover him because he didn't have on anything. And he was probably like 120 pounds.
Pamela and the other woman waited for the paramedics to arrive. They watched as they whisked him into the ambulance and off to the hospital. Still shaken, Pamela made her way to work, and on her lunch break, she snuck away to the bathroom to call the county hospital. They wouldn't share any information about the man's condition. She wasn't family. But still, Pamela called the hospital every day. A month went by. That's when Pamela read Tamerlan's article. She recognized the picture of Willie and decided she had to reach out. At that point, Tamerlan still didn't know Willie's last name, and Pamela was the one who gave it to her.
Finally, Willie Ellis. I said, it cannot possibly be that this man is still alive after all this time and these people think that he's dead.
Tamerlan made some phone calls, and she managed to track Willie down pretty fast. The county moved him outside of Oakland to a hospital that provided therapy and nursing care. Once she got an address, she hopped in her car and drove over there.
So my heart at this point is going boom, boom, boom. Like, oh, no, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. And then I start walking down the hallways, and as I'm approaching what I think is the room where they told me Willie Ellis is, there's a woman nurse sitting right outside the door, and she's on one of those computers, you know, that they're typing in. And so as I approach, I kind of peer in, and then all of a sudden, I catch a glimpse, like a quick glimpse, of this man in this hospital coat. And I look, and I can see from the hair, you know, the kind of scraggly fro, and, you know, he's kind of salt and pepper, slight little guy. I'm like, that is Willie. So I kind of sidle up to the bed, you know, and pull up a chair and sit down. And I said, hi, Willie. I'm Tamerlan Drummond. I'm a reporter with the East Bay Times. I said, I am so surprised to find you here. You know, everybody thinks you're dead. And I pulled out my phone because I had taken some pictures from the memorial. And I started showing him the pictures of the poems and the flowers and all these things. And he just burst into tears.
The man who Tamerlan saw in the hospital bed that afternoon seemed far from the charming salesman who she remembered at the lake. It was Willie, but the injuries from the robbery were bad. He suffered from shaking spells that lasted for days on end.
And I just felt so terrible for the poor thing, you know, and I was just kind of trying to rub his back and hug him, and he just kept bawling and bawling and bawling.
Willie's cell phone and laptop were stolen in the robbery. He couldn't get a hold of Richard or Rico or anyone to let them know where he was. He was helpless. So after her visit, Tamerlan rushed back to the office and posted a quick article online.
Oakland Mystery. Lake Merritt's Willie not dead, but recovering from brutal assault. For the last several weeks, people have been coming to Lake Merritt in droves, leaving touching tributes to a mystery street salesman who was a longtime fixture at Lake Merritt.
And whoever put that on the wall, they were right. I died twice and came back.
Here's Willie from the hospital.
When I first got here, I couldn't walk at all. They used to come get me out the bed, put me in my wheelchair, and put me up on the bars so I could hold myself up.
When Willie was on those bars in physical therapy, he would think about Richard and Rico and getting back to the lake. That was his motivation. And as soon as they read Tamerlan's article, Richard and Rico rushed to see Willie. A few weeks later, Richard checked Willie out of the hospital for the day. He folded Willie's wheelchair into his compact SUV and brought him to his old spot at the lake. Everyone was happy to see him.
Would you gain weight? You look so handsome. Yes, it's getting. Oh, you look like a Mahiwadala now. Wow, look at that arm, boy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank the Lord.
Getting too much loving over here. Fat, juicy. Fat, juicy.
How you doing, Will?
What's up, boy? You get them beans?
Doctor got me on a diet now. Eating all that sugar and drinking them soda.
How many friends can you just know they're going to be there? And just, there's no expectation. You just show up
You don't even have to go into a house. You know, his house is right there. Every day. And he listens to, you know, there's a lot of people, kind of like church, I guess. The Church of Willie. I guess I had a dream when I found him that he would somehow, someday be back up there, but it ain't gonna happen. He's too, I knew he's gonna get old anyway, but he's too injured right now, so.
Richard helped Willie get a hold of his social security number so that he could receive government benefits. Someone else set up a GoFundMe. His church bought him clothes, and Rico would bring him a plate of soul food at the hospital when he could.
Man, my hopes for Willie is that Willie do what he want to do. When I hear he's home, he like living outside. What I don't know, man, you know, I'm still not going to ask. He's comfortable for doing what he do, you know, and as long as he's comfortable, I'm comfortable. I ain't asking no more questions.
Why not? Are you asking questions?
Why should I? We've been knowing each other for 7 years. Why should I start changing up right now? Talking about, hey, man, who is you, man? Where you from? You know, everything else he got covered. He's a hustler. And I know he can't wait to get back in business, but he need a little bit more work done.
People were so touched by the loss of this guy that they never even knew. And I wondered, you know, why did they feel this level of caring for this person, but yet the homeless person who's out collecting cans, people just like walk by and they just like sort of consider them to be like a scourge on society. But that Willie was no different from the person who was collecting the cans, their circumstances are very similar.
What would you say the biggest difference between your life before you were in the hospital was to compared to now?
It's like hell now. My life was good, very good.
It's been 2 years since the robbery, and since Willie disappeared from his corner at the lake. He's still at the hospital where Tamerlan found him.
They used to tell me you can either walk or you can sit in that wheelchair for the rest of my life. I told them I want to walk.
And how many months did it take you to walk?
It took me about 9 months. And they both told me, you got a strong determination.
Willie's balance is good, but still shaky. He walks the perimeter of the hospital most mornings, unsure when he'll leave or where he's going next. Do you think you'll ever sell again? Sell antiques and trinkets over there again?
Yeah, I think I'll be able to. Once I get the shaking under control and get the right type of medicine, I can do it now. I just have a shaking problem.
Tamerlan Drummond, who was a reporter for the East Bay Times, and a special shout out as well to Paloma Turner, Rico Garcia, Richard Bell, Annalee Allen, and the Friday Walking Group. Thanks as well to Willie Ellis, rest in power. Original score for this piece was by Renzo Gorio. It was produced by Adiza Egan. go anywhere, snappers. After the break, more on Willie. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the Gratitude Special. Everyone knows that Willie Ellis was the unofficial mayor and greeter of Lake Merritt. And our entire community mourns the fact that Willie Ellis passed away June 22nd, 2022. We sent our Snap producer, Bo Walsh, to his memorial by Lake Merritt to get stories from just some of those who loved him.
This is Willie's post. You know, Willie's been around this lake, myself, around different places, but he settled here. This was the last place that he actually, you know, just settled and made this his daily space.
Willie was like an old oak tree. He was solid and coming here every day. We walked the lake 3 days a week, so it was always nice to come around the bend and see him setting up.
We would kick it here every morning for like almost a year. But yeah, man, he knew every man, woman, and child, and pet. That's why they call him the mayor, right? Everybody loved him. And like everybody from young people to dogs to the super OGs, they all were like, hey, Mr. Willie. They all had mad respect for him. The mayor, straight mayor.
Willie, to me, was the mayor, you know? Like, just a great guy. He just exemplifies the spirit of Oakland. And since I came here from Belfast, he's always been my friend, you know?
Every morning, I would come, see if he's okay, see if he needed anything. Sit down, chat with him for about 30 minutes.
This wonderful man just gave me so much. He was always like an anchor. Like I'd go out of town or something and come back and like, I gotta get to the lake. I gotta see Willie so I know everything's okay.
Fondest memories, I gave Willie a Valentine card 1 year, and several days later he brought me an anniversary card. And on it he said, "You're my very best friend forever and always." And I brought him breakfast every day, chicken noodle soup and oatmeal, and he started to leave me joints. I hurt my back, and so he felt like it was like his way of repaying me. He told me I needed to smoke them to get through the pain. So when he passed away, somebody found his suitcase, and that Valentine card was still in it. And I still have his as well. So we just looked out for each other.
And he would always, always say, "Thank you, Mama." And then one day I said, "Willie, I know you call me Mama, but do you remember my name?" And he looked at me and said, "You're Shirley."
Before he closed up shop, I end up coming by telling him, you know, have a good day, have a blessed day, and see you tomorrow.
Willie, when I spoke to him every morning, he said, "God gave me another day." I don't know if you guys spoke to him, but he said that to me consistently.
I always made my way to see him again, you know? And then one day he didn't show up, you know? I went and checked his tent over there by the, underneath the freeway, and he wasn't there. And I said, something has befallen him. And that's why I'm still here, because I'm still kind of praying a little
bit. Mr. Willie, right? It's still give him props even though he's not physically here. You know, that's tight. Like, this is a testament to the man that he was, you know what I mean? Because if he was just any nobody, they would just walk by. But, like, people come bring shit and they're like, take a moment. And, like, all he affected all these people's lives, you know? And he was just him.
No, he wasn't looking to, like, start some kind of movement, but really that's kind of what it's turning into. Absolutely, you know, remember Willie Ellis.
Willie was just a real down-to-earth person. He really was. And, you know, I love Willie like a brother. I do. And I know that there's a lot of people that's going to miss him.
Willie was
an angel here on earth, and he touched me about 20 years ago, and I'm a better person for it. His spirit will live on forever, and I will hold him very dear in my heart.
So God bless you, Brother Willie Ellis, from your friend Sean at the lake. Peace out, Brother Willie. One love from Sean. Peace.
Uno, dos, tres. Spirit of Willie. Thank you.
Thank you. Rest in power, Willie Ellis. And thanks to Snap producer Bo Walsh for capturing the love. Now, I just want to say I am so thankful for the storytellers, for you listeners, for the entire community that shows up and gives us so much love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of us at Snap are sending you love right back. Snap is brought to you by the team that has largely abandoned the notion of the traditional turkey. I think they're eating sprouts and berries. Except for the Uber producer, Mr. Mark Ristich. He wants white meat and dark meat, please. And gravy on his gravy. There's Nancy Lopez, Pat Mussini-Miller, Gina Bediaco, David Exuman, Anna Sussman, Renzo Gorio, Shayna Sheely, Teo DeCott, Flo Wiley, John Facio, Marissa Dodge, Bo Walsh, Annie Nguyen, Zara Norbosch. And please, know that this is not the news. No way is this the news. In fact, you could sneak off to the icebox at 3 a.m. to fix up a leftover sandwich only to discover there aren't any more leftovers left over. And before you sound the alarm, you might just notice all the crumbs running down the front of your pajamas, sparking a vague recollection about a 1 a.m. leftover plate with all the fixings that you might have eaten up already. And even then, your triple helping heaven self would still not be as far away from the news as this is. But this is PRN.